Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the corner with Altitude. I am your host, Altitude. I want to thank everybody for meeting me right here at the intersection of artistry and culture, aka the corner. Today I got a great show lined up for you. We got a very, very special guest, man, a dear friend of mine, someone I know, have known for a long time, a super talented dude, though. Like, don't get it twisted. He's not on the show because he's my friend. I have a lot of friends that do music, and none of them get to the show. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be dope, and this dude definitely is. He goes by the name of Esang. Be sure to follow him on Twitter. That's Esang number one. Esang is spelled I-S-A-N-G, and then the number one after that. So he'll be stopping by, talking to us, chatting it up with us here in on the corner. He'll also be giving some exclusive music, man. In fact, we're going to get into one of his songs a little later. And also he'll be giving us another exclusive when he joins the show. So shout out to the guest, man, Esang. He should be joining us here in the next 10-15 minutes. So be patient. Last week, of course, we had Cleveland's own Tiggy Tay. Did a great, dope interview for us, man. We appreciate that. Shout out to Tiggy Tay. The first week, of course, we had Big Benz, another DMV artist, super dope, very talented. But here on the corner, we like to give you hip-hop news along with the live hip-hop interviews. So let's get into the news, man. We're going to start with Kendrick Lamar and Drake. This thing just keeps evolving. It keeps turning into something bigger every time I look around, man. Initially, it started off with the Control verse, as you might know. Kendrick Lamar had a guest spot on Big Sean's record Control that also featured Jay Electronica. Kendrick Lamar laid down the lyrical gauntlet pretty much, man. Told everybody pretty much step your bars up. It wasn't, at least I didn't perceive it to be, a direct insult of any of the people that he named. He did name a lot of people. That being said, like I said, I don't think that it was a direct insult to any of them. I just think it is what it is. He just said, yo, the game had gotten kind of stale. I got to be honest. Everybody was friends, man, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in that, with that happening, I think the competition level had definitely dropped, and nobody was really rapping to cement themselves as the top rapper. Rather, they were rapping just, you know, for spins on the radio or for record sales or, you know, to get their next tour lined up, man. And that's all good, too, because, you know, you have to make a living in this thing. After all, it is your job. This is what you chose to do. But at the very core of this thing that we call hip-hop, it is competitive. You know what I mean? Like, And it's not necessarily competitive in the way that you have to say another man's name or another woman's name or whatever. It's just competitive in the sense that when somebody hears your record, it should inspire them to want to get in the studio and make something hotter than that. And pretty much nobody's really been doing that, had been doing that as of late. I mean, I will say that a lot of artists are dope. People like Pusha T, people like this get overlooked and make incredible music and are incredible lyricists and stuff like that. But the people that we hear on the radio on a daily basis weren't making the kind of music that inspires or invokes that competitive fire within these other artists. I will say that much. But anyway, getting to the so-called beef, and I don't want to call it beef because I don't think it's like an on-site thing when they see each other. It's going down. It's definitely not that. But Kendrick Lamar participate in the BET Hip Hop Awards cipher with his team, his crew, the Black Hippies, TDE, Schoolboy Q, and the like. And there were some interesting things said by Kendrick Lamar in this cipher. He went on to say, and I quote, this is a quote, sorry, just trying to make sure I get it right because I don't want to mess it up. He goes on to say, I quote, "And nothing's been the same since they dropped Control and tucked the sensitive rapper and tucked a sensitive rapper back in his pajama clothes." Now, I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to say Drake's sensitive. I'm not going to say that. no, there would be some people that would oblige that or agree with that sentiment. I'm not going to do that. But it is a bit of a coincidence that he says nothing's been the same. As we all know, Drake's latest album, which is doing very well, by the way, on Billboard. He's selling out the stores. The name of the album, though, is called Nothing Was the Same. So it is a bit of a coinky dink. That's all I'm saying, that he says nothing's been the same since they dropped Control, Control being the song. But he says the inflammatory things, or not so inflammatory if you read between the lines, about other rappers, naming one of them being, one of them, of course, being Drake. But yeah, so Kendrick says this. This is after, of course, the Control verse comes out. Drake has been on, had been on a radio tour promoting his album, like most rappers do, and while on this tour, pretty much said that he wasn't really rocking with Kendrick's verse and he wasn't really feeling Kendrick taking the shot like that. Kind of sounded sensitive. I'm unbiased in this situation. Play the middle. He did sound a little sensitive. I'm not saying he's a sensitive guy. But it did sound a little bit sensitive, just a little bit. You know, nothing against the man. He's a great, great artist. I'll give him that 100%. I will say that I am not a Drake fan, but Drake makes incredible music. I always catch myself singing along. I do have the first album myself. I bought that. But he can be a. I'll just say he's in tune with his feminine side. That's what I'm going to say about Drake. He's in tune with that side of himself. I won't go as far as to say that he's sensitive, because I think that would be a little insensitive of me. But Drake is in tune with that side of himself. Moving on, though, man. We're going to get to some happy times. Speaking of Drake, he recently did an interview where he said he writes his hits quickly. He says, "A lot of my hit songs I've written in a very short period of time. Hold On, We're Going Home. I felt like we finished that in 2 hours. I'm not a guy that does 40 songs for a project, then picks 13 of them. If I'm going to go as far as to do a track over a beat, I usually have the utmost faith in it that it'll end up somewhere. I don't really dispose of too many songs. I have stuff that didn't make this album, definitely. but I don't have 20 or 30 of them. I have 4 or 5 records that just didn't make it because, again, I was trying to keep it concise. So that's what Drake says about his latest effort, Nothing Was the Same, and about his writing process. So apparently writing hits for Drake is nothing, and he can do this with his eyes closed. That being said, a lot of people, like he said, do go in, record a million records when they're, you know, trying to get an album of only 12, 13 songs. The most famous person probably being Tupac. Of course, we're still hearing posthumous releases from Tupac. But Drake says he prefers just to go in there with what he has in mind and knock out that, and that being it. Real quick, before our caller joins us, man, we have Isang soon to be calling in. He should be calling in here in a minute. We're going to go ahead and get into one of his records. This one's called Never Take Me Alive. Again, this is Isang, Never Take Me Alive. The Reason is the album. He will be joining us right after this.
There's a hole in the log at the bottom of the sea. There's a scroll in a hole in the log at the bottom of the sea. There's a soul on the scroll in a hole in the log at the bottom of the sea. A part of it is me. And there's another part that's impossible to see, cause it rests in the chest like a pocket on the sea. So into the blue, I have brought another key to the depths where it's dark and impossible to breathe. Inherit in the earth that was promised to the meek. I am heir to the air, so my oxygen is free. I take a breath with the sharks and the sturgeons. Open up the chest like a saw to a sternum. Get to the heart, I am cardio surgeon. To the heart ain't the heart of a person. It's a heart that's made of a diamond attached to a necklace. I protect this case from my head to the chest like a necklace. I'm ashore as a wrecked ship. If I can't go back to the chest like a wrecked rib, I collect what was stowed in a hole. Recollect as I hold what I stole, I unroll the scroll and it says this. Now if they want to star, I'm giving them a show. They tell them bring it home, I'm kicking in the dough. I lay dirty crack, then kick it from my soul. Hip hop ain't dead, get it from a flow. I take it from the flow, I bring it to the sky. Take it under my wing, teach it how to fly. I take it so serious, I'ma make it before I die. They can fly, take it from me, they'll never take me alive. Never take me alive. I hit ice as I roll. I'm so cold, Jack. Titanic flows, I suppose it's right what they write on the scroll. You can be whatever you want, and to that effect, I am bulletproof monk. And to that effect, I am really named Gun. Fat on the track, I am really a ton. Awake from your lies is comatose, what the doctor prescribed, and I am the overdose. Forget a state of mind, I am a coast to coast. I was bred for the fire, I propose the toast. Raise spirit, Tim Seon. I'm just trying to get to them day on. Black Brad Pitt, Achilles heel of the world. I'm doing this to Troy and for Trayvon. Now if they want a star, I'm giving them a show. They tell them bring it home, I'm kicking in the dough. I lay 30 tracks, then kick it from a soul. Hip hop ain't dead, get it from a flow. I take it from the flow and bring it to the sky. Take it under my wing and teach it how to fly. I take it so serious, I'ma make it before I die. They can try to take it from me, they'll never take me alive. Never take me alive. Malcolm had a dream, Martin had a dream. I am in, I am in, I am in. Garvey had a dream, Gandhi had a dream. I am in, I am in, I am in. Bob had a dream, Fela had a dream. I am in, I am in, I am in. Last night, I had a dream. I am in, I am in. I am in is a sum of some numbers divided by the number of numbers it was. Had a dream that the dream was among us, increasing our numbers and one just because. Everything about air is divided, the sum of our numbers united is one. And alive we will die, but we wind up divided. And that's what being alive is. Now if they want a star, I'm giving them a show. They tell them bring it home, I'm kicking in the dough. I lay 30 tracks, then kick it from my soul. Hip hop ain't dead, get it from a flow. I take it from the flow, and bring it to the sky. Take it under my wing, teach you how to fly. I take it so serious, I'ma make it before I die. They can try to take it from me, they'll never take me alive. Now if they want a star, I'm giving them a show. They tell them bring it home, I'm kicking in the dough. I lay 30 tracks, then kick it from my soul. Hip hop ain't dead, get it from a flow. Take it from the flow and bring it to the sky. Take it under my wing and teach you how to fly. I take it so serious, I'ma make it before I die. They can try to take it from me, they'll never take me alive. Never take me alive. They'll never take me alive. They'll never take me alive. You'll never take me alive. You'll never take me alive. They wanna start, I'm giving them a show. They tell them bring it home, I'm kicking in the dough. I lay 30 tracks in, kick it from my soul. Hip hop ain't dead, get it from a flow. I take it from the flow and bring it to the sky. Take it under my wing and teach you how to fly. I take it so serious, I'ma make it before I die. They can try to take it from me, they'll never take me alive. Never take me alive.
I mean Yo, we back with the man himself, Isang. What's going on?
Yo, what's good, man?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Yo, thank you again for accepting the invitation to join us on the corner. It's a big pleasure. Look, let's hop right in, man. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners?
My name is Isang. I'm a Virginia native, DMV native. And Nigerian son, of course. I do this rapping stuff, and I like to think I do it well.
Absolutely, man. Let's go right in. Let's talk about that track, man. Let's talk about Never Take Me Alive. What was the inspiration behind that, and where did where'd that come from?
Right. Never Take Me Alive is actually the intro track on my upcoming project, The Reason. And honestly, that was one of the last tracks that I recorded for the project. And the nature of the track is basically to kind of summarize. It's a bookend. I mean, when you hear the album, there's the intro and then there's the body of the album and then there's the outro. So it's the bookend. It's like that. It's like not only an intro to the album, but it's an intro to somebody that's unfamiliar with me as an artist, and you know where my mind is. So if you listen to the content, you know I'm touching on different things. Second verse, I'm touching on maybe Trayvon Martin. Third verse, I'm touching on some of my influences, Malcolm X, I mentioned L.I., so it's giving you a basic summary of who I am and what's going on in my mind as you kind of get into my project and get into me as an artist.
Absolutely. And I kind of being on the inside just a little bit, I've had the opportunity to hear some of the tracks, very, very dope. And you don't really get to hear that from too many independent artists. I think everybody now that has the ability to go out and buy like some sort of music software and a microphone thinks they can rap now. but some people just really like have the talent for it and the aptitude for it. You definitely are one of them.
Appreciate that.
And you do it at a very high level, man. Like I've never heard somebody with that so conceptually sound. And when I say that, you have a concept for a record or an album, and you flawlessly execute the idea. So you have the idea, and then you execute it so flawlessly, man. Like, what do you think makes that happen? What do you think for some, like, up-and-comer right now that's listening to the show, that can't really execute his ideas. Is that like something you just practice, or is that just something you have?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. I think it's sometimes something that you have, but I heard somebody say one time that hard work will beat out raw talent every time, and I think that's true in general. You could be the best at executing a concept, but if you don't make something of it, if you don't try to push your limits and you don't practice and you don't push yourself, you don't challenge yourself, it's for nothing. So I say a combination of both. When I write stuff, I try to remind myself to stay on topic when I listen to other artists and I say, oh, this person jumped all around the track. They didn't really stick to what the track was supposedly about. They talked about this, that, and the other thing. I didn't have to take that same criticism when I do my own work, and I have to apply it, you know, tenfold to what I'm trying to execute. And that's the only way you're going to be better than, you know, if you want to be better than everybody else, that's the only way you're going to do it. However you look at everyone else, you have to look at yourself through that same scope and then magnify it even further so that at the end of the day, you know that you're head and shoulders above whoever should come, you know, and try to, you know, test what it is that you do.
Absolutely. Right now, the phone lines are on fire. I promise you, people, I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk to Isang here shortly. Just be patient. It's coming, I promise. You're a popular guy, man. We've had other people on the show. Of course, the phone lines have been lighting up, but right now it's kind of on fire, man. I don't even know if our servers can take all of this. But anyway, so why don't you tell us how you got started doing music, man? What was, like, your early, like, how old were you when you started doing this, and what made you start doing it?
Well, musically, probably my biggest influence was definitely my parents at probably the age of, like, I say 4, 5, 6 years old. My father listened to everything from, I'm talking about Bob Marley to the Beatles to Dolly Parton. You know, he was musically, his range of music as far as taste goes was all over the board, which was great for me. I know a lot of, like, young kids don't get exposure to all kinds of different genres. And then through my older brother and my aunts and my mom, of course, I was introduced to hip-hop. Early on, I think some of the first stuff that I was listening to when I was 6 was just, like, that 90s, like, that Heavy D, that Chubb Rock. The first time I rapped, I wasn't rapping my own lyrics. I was rapping like a crisscross song, like in kindergarten. DJ Cool, I was rapping their songs as like a young kid in like the elementary school talent shows and stuff like that. And probably I'd say about 9 years old, I started writing my own stuff just for fun. Fast forward to, you know, high school years. That's when people were battling in the cafeteria and in the cut after school, rap battling. And then, like you said, you had an inside track. I definitely came up with a click right out of high school, the whole V's Up click, you were there for that whole movement. Made a little noise in the Northern Virginia area. Went on to, you know, my first actual label deal, got my industry 101 experience from that. I wouldn't trade it, you know, the good and the bad. I definitely grew up what takes a lot. Sometimes people are in this industry for a lot of years. I learned their lessons that it takes them like 8-10 years to learn. I learned them in about a year. So I'm very grateful for even the negative experience I had in the music industry. And now I'm independent, and we're pushing this project to reason. So
absolutely. You're kind of like doing my job for me. I had those questions written down, like your first taste of the industry, and you just kind of like took all those questions
out. That was a brief summary. That was a brief summary. I mean, we could get into whatever.
Yeah, man, no doubt. So about this project, the reason, what's the goal for it? Like, what's the, you know, the end result that you're looking for out of the reason?
I mean, the end result, honestly, the end result was in the process. There's a slight, knowing me, of course, there has to be, there's a slight double entendre in the name of the project, The Reason. Of course, it has the service level meaning of the reason, you know, the why. Why do I do this? But then underneath that, there was an end goal for me to kind of come back from hiatus. and that has already been accomplished through the process. So anyone that's going to pick up this project is getting kind of the bonus. You know, that's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But the journey was actually the end goal for me personally as an artist, just to get back in the studio. And it's actually James Daniels is the he produced, like, you know, everything. I was in the co-pilot chair for production, never ever dabbled in any of that. So, like, hands-on with production for the first time in my life, again, you know, just part of the process of growing as an artist. And again, you know, y'all get to hear that and enjoy the fruits of our labor. But, yeah, definitely me and James just getting, you know, getting back in the swing thing, getting back in the rhythm and creating something that, you know, kind of just expresses what I had on the back burner, you know, not getting out for a couple of years.
Absolutely, man. Real quick, we're going to get into this final record from E-Sang. Zeusophobia is what it's called. E-Sang, you want to explain this to the listeners real quick?
Yeah, definitely. Zeusophobia definitely touches on my inner activist, my inner Huey Newton, I guess. It's a record about racism, in a sense. I looked at it from three ways. Why do we, you know, black people hate each other, hate ourselves? Why are we hated by other races? And what am I going to do, you know, knowing these realities, knowing these truths? How am I going to maneuver and continue to excel in this life? So really, you know, what some might call a conscious message when we did the production. Just, I told James, like, let's just get as trapped as we can. It's like, just trap it up with the instrumental. Keep it real hard, you know, just to be a kind of counterbalance to the message that I'm giving. So, Zeusophobia,
so,
the fear of God.
Zeusophobia, the fear of God. Fear of God, people. And I'm going to let you ask E-Sang your questions after Zeusophobia. So, keep it locked.
Overrated, wait a minute, motherfucker. You project direction. Try and make them cool, cause you snooze through your lessons. You get dead ass sucker shit. And the new is my blessing. Cause by the time the course ends, I'ma look like horses.
Once in a time of Imhotep, a lotus bloom in the valley of death. Thunder rolled as he turned his head, and this is what was said.
Hear my voice when you hear your soul. I bring you black and I bring you gold. Feel my blood, I don't feel your rod. And if you feel me, then you feel your God.
Smarter than a whip, quite literally not fit to be the martyr in the script. How history depicted me, though physically a kid. I'm finding out that mentally my intellect and wit extended exponentially. These gilded winds are killing me. Not literally, but I guess that's why it's called soar. When you fly above your tyrants who now lie on the floor, next to those who showed you ire for aspiring for more. From here I am all seeing I never before had such a wealth of knowledge that I could never be poor. Not repeating mistakes, that's what memory's for. And they did this to themselves, so that could never be war. But now the desert is opening to swallow them whole. I gave them blood, sweat, and music. I gave them knowledge and soul. If I die before I wake, make my sarcophagus gold. Cause by the time the court ends, I'ma look like horses.
Once in a time of Imhotep, a lotus bloom in the valley of death. Thunder rolled as he turned his head, and this is what was said.
Hear my voice when you hear your soul. I bring you black and I bring you gold. Feel my blood, I don't feel your rod. And if you feel me, then you feel your God.
Yo.
Good.
You there?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Zeusophobia, people. He's saying, explain that for y'all. We did pick up some more callers. He's saying you want to explain that for the people who just called in.
Yeah, definitely. Zeusophobia was just, you know, my take on, you know, self-hate within the race, hatred that comes from outside of the race, and what I personally would do, you know, would do about it to continue to excel. And I mean, yeah, we just made a real trap like for you. You know, you can still listen to it in the car. It doesn't have to be, you know, extra fall asleep music, you know, real. It doesn't have to be Quantum Legion speed, you know.
The pearl scrimmage.
Yeah, no pearl scrimmage. Yeah. Yeah, so
absolutely, man. Look, I promised the people that they get a chance to holler at you, so it's only right that I do it. Houston, are you there? Hello, Houston. Houston is a little shy. We're gonna talk to somebody else. New York City, are you there? 718.
Is that?
I don't know what's going on.
Yo,
718.
Yo.
Got a question for Ethan. Yeah. We hear you. Okay, 718.
I heard yo from 718.
Yo.
Yes, 718. Okay, we're going to let 718 get it together, too. Let's move on. 301, does anybody have a question for you saying, are you just listening? 301, are you there?
No questions, man. I did an excellent interview.
I think you answered everybody's questions, man. Like,
I feel like I have to.
We're going to give these people one more shot to talk to Isang. 718, are you there?
Yo, Isang, what up?
What up?
Yo, it's Gabe, what's good?
Chilling, man. Brooklyn in the house.
Quick question, man. What do you think about the rap game right now?
What do I think about the rap game? Yo, I was hoping to get asked that. Right. Okay. I think the rap game is at a pivotal position right now. I think things are about to shift dramatically. We've had a couple, we've had a long, long time of like friendly, you know, cliquish kind of action going on in the rap game. And in that time, people got soft. Like artists that you thought were going to come out and just, you know, obliterate everything with their music, not even in a combative mode, but just to be, you know, always on their toes, always doing their best. Everyone got so friendly and cliquish that, you know, that competition kind of just seeped out of the rap game. So, you know, of course, the biggest news was Kendrick Lamar. But it's not only Kendrick. It's people like Pusha T jumping out there saying, look, I have the best rap album of the year. You know, it's people standing behind what they make and not just putting it out and being so buddy-buddy that they're letting the quality of their music slip. So I'm happy about that. I mean, you're from Brooklyn. I'm hoping New York puts some contenders back on the map. Trying to catch up with the Futures and the Rich Homie Quan, it's not gonna cut it. Every region has their sound, and you know, yeah, it's a growing genre. We're always evolving, and more than anyone, I love listening to other elements from other types of music, but you know. New York, for example, New York is a mecca, right? New York used to have all the spitters. And now, you know, the person that's kind of going unchallenged for, you know, that too is from Compton, California, which is dope for them. But, you know, how do you feel, you know, how can you really feel, you know, as an artist? And you know that there should be someone coming from every region. So as for me personally, like, you know, I'm not gonna be that person that sucks out of my area.
You saying real quick, man, Gabe from Brooklyn, it sounds like you're on like a New York City corner right now with police sirens and the like in the background. Next time get your sound situation under control, man. Thank you for your call.
No doubt.
Hell, he's out there in the streets, man.
He's out there in the streets, man.
I think
crazy,
man. Yeah, definitely.
713, we're going to give you another shot. That's not 713. 713, are you there? 713 is shy. 301,
shy.
Are you there?
Shy.
301 is shy as well. 571, are you there?
Shy.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's perfectly fine. But look, I'm gonna go off of what from Brooklyn said. As far as rap music right now, you touched on the Kendrick Lamar thing. I was talking about that to start the show off with. Do you think that this is healthy for hip hop right now? If Kendrick Lamar and Drake have this verbal back and forth on records. Now, I want to be careful not to call it a beef because I don't think that beef is what it is. Right now, especially, it's just competitiveness, like lyrical competitiveness, battle. Let's just call it a battle. Do you think that that would be good for hip-hop right now?
I'm gonna take it a step further because, I mean, like I said, like having come from starting out, you know, in my adolescence as a battle rapper, I'm going to tell you right now that I'm not even going to call it a battle. And here's why. I think Kendrick Lamar has the perfect mentality. Whether spoken or unspoken, whether you put it on wax or you never do and you keep it in your head, you should always have the mentality that no matter who your peers are, you're gonna outdo them. The reason I'm not going to call it a battle is because since I've been following it so closely and I was eager to hear some, you know, lyricism stepping up between such prominent artists. I caught Drake's reaction to it in a couple interviews, and he seemed more hurt than anything. He seemed to take it as a slight, but not in the sense that it was a battle, but he took it as a personal attack. And I think that's kind of what rap doesn't need. Like, this is similar to sports. You know, as many parallels have been drawn since the dawn of the genre, this closely parallels the sports. Do you think that, you know, when Larry Bird didn't dap him up on court, that Magic Johnson went home and cried about it? He just came back and, you know, had a game where he played every position on the court. You know, he would elevate his game to match that of his biggest competitor, and it was a tit for tat. And in doing so, each person became even better. So, you know, I wish that, you know, everyone would have the mentality that Kendrick Lamar has. You know, it's funny that the majority of people who did respond to his control verse are people who, like, frankly, no one really has heard of, you know, and on a grand scale. And it's interesting to see that the people that have that mentality, like, yeah, I'm going to take this as a challenge, are not the people who you would like them to be. They're not the people who have the best platform to do so, you know. So I commend Kendrick Lamar again for taking that step, acknowledging that all of these people are his peers, and then proceeding to acknowledge that that has no effect on his desire to be the best. So I definitely echo that sentiment. You know, whether or not somebody thinks that they're a better artist than me, they could say anything all day, but I just want to put out something that will make it difficult for you to prove that, you know, and everyone should think like that.
True. I think we're going to let you get out of here on this. Do you think it's possible in a genre of music, particularly hip-hop, because I think it's really the only one that really matters, unless, you know, you were around during the 80s when Michael Jackson and Prince were doing their thing and it was a big, competition there as far as who was better. But in hip-hop, I think this happens more often. Do you think it's possible for there to ever be a greatest of all time in hip-hop, or even a greatest right now, like, because it's so if you have a group of fans, right, there are people right now who think that Jadakiss is the greatest ever. And I'm not saying that Jadakiss is a bad rapper. I just wouldn't say that Jadakiss is the greatest rapper ever. So in hip-hop, do you think it's possible for that to happen? And do you think someone is the greatest ever?
It is possible, and I'm going to tell you, I don't think that there's the greatest ever in hip-hop, only because it has nothing to do to me with this, like, fragmentation of the genre into different, you know, subcategories. This type of hip-hop, this is rap, this is hip-hop, this isn't hip-hop, this is rap. Like, that has nothing to do with it. It's just that the genre itself is so young. Like, it came to prominence in the 80s. I was born in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is not a long time ago. So, just in the same vein as when people kind of do this irritating thing, like calling something a classic. No,
yes.
Like, you have to allow for time. You can't call anyone the greatest of all time. You can't call anything classic until it has stood up to the test of time. Michael Jackson, to me, is the greatest of all time. However, Michael Jackson dabbled in genres that have existed for more than 15, 20 years. You know, Michael Jackson had the ability to execute music through, like, three or four decades of music. And to continue to still be Michael Jackson. Now, like, to reference what you just said, yeah, we can look at Michael Jackson and Prince. Prince, you know, is still living. You know, like, Michael Jackson, rest in peace, still has made things that Prince cannot hold a candle to, and that's to take nothing away from Prince.
Right.
But that's standing the test of time. Like, the man is no longer living on this earth, but his music is still incomparable.
Absolutely.
Look,
I'm being ushered off. We're running out of time, Usain. I appreciate you calling in. You got to come back, man.
Quick plug. Usain1 on Twitter, Usain1 on Instagram, Usain.bandcamp.com for the music. It's a lot of free music on there, so if you haven't heard it, go check it out.
Absolutely. One League is the team, and
One League is definitely the team.
The face.